good friend. Welcome. Good afternoon. It is 4 p.m. Central Time, and you're listening to my voice on the great GCN Radio Network. My name is Tom Kiley, and it means it's now time for INN World Report Radio. Good evening or good afternoon, whichever part of the country you're in, and welcome to the show. We have a great, great program lined up for you today. It's going to be very exciting, friends, because it'll be the first time I'm meeting this person as well. I've been back and forth doing email, setting up the interviews, but in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Betsy Metz, self-described as a regular housewife. But I wouldn't call her regular by any stretch of the imagination. She put together the Treason in America conference that was held not too far from here in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, last weekend. And I think it's just an amazing example of what one person can do. I am told that she dug pretty deep into her bank account to put the money up to rent the hall and so forth and to make the promotion for it. And by all accounts, everybody that I've talked to, my partner Lenny Charles was out there. I unfortunately was unable to go. But everything I've heard is that it was just a great success. And the people that were there, Richard Gage, San Francisco Bay Area Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, Cindy Sheehan, of course, Cindy Sheehan, the peace activist. She lost her son Casey in Iraq. Colleen Rowley. FBI whistleblower Colleen Rowley, one of the women of the year, one of the people of the year, according to Time magazine back in 2001. I think they had three people that year. So Russ Baker, who is going to be our guest tomorrow. Russ Baker, journalist and author of the book about the Bush family. So just on and on, some really great speakers, some family members were there as well. Manny Badillo, who's frequently a guest here on the program, spoke. And just a great, great time was had by all. Some good information got out there. So in any case, Betsy will be joining us, and hopefully we can get a little of the magic from her and find out, you know, what it was that motivated her and how she got this whole together, because it would be great if the rest of us could follow that example. Anyhow, the phone lines are open right now, 866-582-9933. Give me a ring, and I'll be happy to talk with you. The phone lines are open, and there's no particular topic at the moment. And I'll send you out one of our books here that we have that we've been giving out, Dr. Mary's Monkey, The Oil Card, or the Wayne Mattson book, Jaded Tasks. So give us a ring, and I'll be happy to do that. In the meanwhile, I was telling you all yesterday that if you go to our Facebook page for the show, and that's INN War Report Radio on Facebook, we've posted there for you some very interesting video clips right at the top when you first get there. Nightline was at this conference, and they did a report on the conference. And then, they interviewed several people, including Betsy herself. So we'll get to talk with Betsy to find out what her experience is like being interviewed by Nightline. You know, and when they're doing these things, of course, they talk with you for a lot more minutes than they're actually going to be using on the program, and then they edit it down. And this is where you really have to watch out, because you think for the uninitiated who have never been through this process, you hear all these great questions, and you think, oh wow, this is going to be a good interview, and you don't realize that they only need a very small amount of what they're asking you. And usually buried in there among the substantive questions and answers are some vain things or some kind of crazy stuff that, maybe you're not prepared for. Maybe it's a difficult thing to explain in such a short period of time, so you appear flummoxed when you're trying to give an explanation. And then oftentimes what happens is when you see the final result, oftentimes you're not even going to make it onto the program. I've had this experience, and I know a lot of other people who have as well. You're not going to make it onto the program. But if you do make it on, you're going to find out that many of the substantive things that you thought would be on there, things that were important for people to know, don't seem to make it into the final version of the broadcast. And instead what happens are things that are either sometimes taken out of context or, you know, a difficult answer that's being given in a short period of time that doesn't make a lot of sense the way it went, or you were a curveball that you weren't ready for. And you can see that on there, okay? And it's just a typical way that things go. So if you go to our webpage there, or our, I should say our Facebook page, and that's INN War Report Radio on Facebook, you can see what we did was we put up there the ABC Nightline report, I think it was from Tuesday night, about the Treason in America conference, and then we also posted up there two links to Sandra Hicks, activist Sandra Hicks's interview, the full interview that Nightline gave him, including, for instance, you know, there was the raw, unedited version of the interview, and you can see for yourself what it's like. It's pretty amazing, you know. The unedited version, they try to challenge Sander, and they say, well, what's the matter? You don't believe the official government story about 9/11? And Sander says, well, not only do I not believe it, but the FBI apparently doesn't believe it either, because they don't have Osama bin Laden on their 10 most wanted list. Well, Chris Bury, the reporter for Nightline, then comes right back and says, well, they have him on their wanted. Sander rightly corrects him and says they may have him on their wanted list, but it's not for September 11th. 2001. It's for the embassy bombings that happened earlier than that in Africa. So that's the kind of thing that happens, but, you know, they got caught. You can see it. Go to our webpage. You can also go to YouTube and see this stuff. It's a little trickier, I think, to get to the link for ABC News Nightline. I had to dig that out and put it on the web Facebook page. But if you go to Facebook and use INN War Report Radio, you can find it there. Check it out. Call us back and tell us what you think. Betsy Metz, our guest, will be joining us in a few minutes, put together the whole conference. She'll be with us. She was interviewed as well. She's on the Nightline report. And we'll ask her what her experience was like. I'm sure they have now her raw interview posted on YouTube as well. There were video activists there at the conference who were following the Nightline crew around, and they were catching the entire interview of everybody that was being interviewed. And Nightline got a little touchy about it, it seems. You know, they said, well, you know, you're following us around with these cameras. Well, hey, you know, what's wrong with that? You know, the old government expression, you know, homeland security expression. If you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear. Yeah. So that's what I think they can have. That ought to be their guideline for ABC Nightline in any case. And it just goes on and on. Now, the other telling thing that you can find when you look at ABC Nightline's report is that they seem to have studiously avoided subject matter experts, scientific and engineering and architectural and so forth. Okay, you will not see Richard Gage interviewed in the Nightline report. Well, Richard Gage has just announced the last few weeks that they now have a full 1,000 architects and engineers on board with them. So you would think that he would be somebody that you should really be interested in talking to if you want to do a piece about the 9/11 truth movement. But no, no, no. Instead, we've got people like Sander Hicks, who, you know, although Sander is very articulate and he's a great researcher and so forth, he does not carry the official cachet that somebody like Richard Gage would carry. And that's probably a good reason why they avoided Richard Gage. They did have Dylan Avery and the other guys from Loose Change on there. But this is getting to be a kind of a broken record. You know, every time I see a mainstream media piece on 9/11 and I see those guys on there, I look at my watch and I start saying, how many more seconds is it going to be before they show you these guys blowing their cool? And they seem to know how to get under the skin of some of the 9/11 truth figures and get them riled up. And sure enough, you know, they go back and they show, you know, what seems to be a piece of the longer interview, but sees him getting flustered and maybe cursing or something like that. And of course, there was a bit of that in there as well. Anyway, we're going to talk right after this, a very exciting, friends, don't go anywhere, with Betsy Metz, the person who organized the entire event. And I just think it's just so great to talk with somebody, an individual who's made such a difference. We'll be right back after this.
Mine is the last voice that you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio. 5 days a week right here on the great GCN radio network, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we bring you what we like to think of as the news the networks won't tell you. And that's certainly what we're doing today. Our guest Betsy Metz is here with us. She'll be on with me in just a moment. But before I start with Betsy, we do have a caller on the line, Solomon from Toronto, who wants to speak about Richard Gage. Solomon, welcome to INN War Report Radio.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Solomon?
Not too bad. I used to be a regular caller back when you were on We the People radio network. So it's good
I recognize your voice now. Hey, thanks for calling, man.
I want to get my free book. But before we talk about that, I'm wondering, have you ever heard of Gary Null? Because he's an alternative health guru there in Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Oh, yeah. He's a friend of ours. And as a matter of fact, I got him. I wanted maybe next week even try to get him on a show to talk about viruses and vaccines and stuff.
Because he just had a three-day thing with Richard Gage and David Ray Griffin and Stephen Jones and others on the whole 9/11 thing. So that's interesting, bringing things to a new alternative audience. I'm also looking forward to Richard Gage coming here to Toronto May the 2nd. That's coming up. So I've been getting on the case of all the media here in Toronto and trying to – I've written a few things here in local papers, and so I'm going to try and cover that. But we'll see. It's a bit of a – it's a bit of a challenge trying to get through to these people, but looks like we may be making some progress, so I'm hopeful. And listening in, I've actually been meaning to call in for a while, but normally I'm just listening on the archives there. So,
well, you know what, Solomon, you have a somewhat distinctive voice, and I remember right away from the old WTPRN days, and I want to thank you for hanging in there and calling. Which book do you want? The Jaded Task?
I want the Olson one.
You want the Olson book. You're swinging for the fence.
You have any of those left?
I have one for you. I have one left. Yes. So what you're going to do is, we're going to go on with our guests now, but you're going to go and stay on the line and give, my producer your address, and I'll be happy to send that off for you.
Sounds great. I'm listening.
And by the way, Solomon, that story, the Olson story, with the part about the weaponized LSD that they used on the people in France in 1951, that story is going all over France right now. It's breaking
in the Telegraph. It's in the London Telegraph today, too. I saw it.
London Telegraph, and there's all kinds of French articles. As a matter of fact, I might be going to France with Hank Albarelli, the author, pretty soon to cover that with him. But, you know, you heard
that
story.
Awesome.
You heard that story right here on INN World Report Radio all the way back in November last year, and we've been trying to help the word out, and here it's starting to really manifest. As a matter of fact, there's a filmmaker interested as well talking with us about making a documentary about it.
Sounds great, man.
Okay. Thanks, Solomon. Great to hear from you, and call back, all right? And give your address to my producer, and we'll send you out. I'll get you that book, all right? Very good. Okay. Now, good friends, at long last, I'm really excited whenever I get a chance to meet somebody who, you know, decided to roll their sleeves up and pitch in and make a big difference. And there is no question in my mind that that is something that our guest, who I just met on the phone here just before we went on the air now for the first time, but I've been trying to get Betsy Metz to join us, and it's all set for today, and she's on the phone line right now. Betsy Metz, the person who decided to put together the Treason in America conference that took place last weekend in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Betsy, welcome to INN World Report Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Well, Betsy, we need to get a little of that moxie that you have. So we got to find out about you and what motivated you and how you pulled all of this off. First off, it's my understanding that this was your conception and your execution, this conference. Is that the case?
Yes. And John Gold, a friend and colleague of mine, helped me with his connections to many of the speakers. So I definitely needed him as part of this.
Very good. So then a typical question that I like to ask people who become active is when and how was it that you woke up to the need to help get this country back on the right track again?
Well, the wake-up call for 9/11.
Yeah, if that's
yeah, well, is. Yeah, well, I actually, yeah, that was, it was for, when I received a link from a friend of mine who had received a link from her daughter, she sent, the wake-up call, actually, that's what I wanted to say first, was in March of 2003. Even though I hadn't voted for Bush when we invaded Iraq illegally, my husband's a Marine Corps, was a Marine Corps officer, and even he said, this is an illegal invasion. We have no reason to be there. There's no proof of weapons of mass destruction. Scott Ritter had come out, the UN, the former Marine and UN inspector, and we just kind of went ahead and said to the UN inspectors, get out because we're about to start bombing. The whole shock and awe thing happened. So that was my initial wake-up call that something wasn't right. Although at the time I believed, and I said to my husband that, well, Bush and Cheney and them, they probably all, know something we don't know. So, even though I saw lots in the news about the anti-war activists saying that we shouldn't be doing this, I was still kind of, I wasn't so sure. And the fact that the hijackers were not from Iraq, that didn't kind of make sense to me. And I was just trying to figure that out. And I was trying to figure out how the mainstream media was getting by without really answering that. So further down the line, the wake-up call came when I got this link in November of 2005, and it was a link to the Pentagon crash site, and it was a photograph with a Boeing 757 superimposed onto where it should have hit and where the initial hole was before the wall collapsed. And I think it was a 16 by 18 foot hole or 14, no larger than 14 by 20. And it just didn't make sense to me when you looked at the height of the tail and the wingspan, which I think was something like 125 feet, maybe that was 143 feet. I'm getting it all mixed up. But whatever it is, where the wingspan...
It was a lot wider than the hole, and the wingspan goes way out. The engines would have been smashed into the building and bounced off the wall and broken all kinds of windows and everything. None of that seemed to happen, did it?
Well, exactly. That was it. It didn't make sense to me logically. My background is kind of finance, math, and science, and I'm a numbers person, and where it showed the wings would have hit on the Pentagon, the glass wasn't broken, and that just didn't make sense. And one of my brothers, who still doesn't believe that there's more to the story than what our government has told us, just kind of laughed at me and said, Betsy, the whole plane was incinerated. But I said, but first the wings would have had to hit the building for it to go in, and there had to have been an explosion to incinerate everything.
Not to mention the fact, Betsy, right, that they claim that they got the DNA from all the bodies. So how do you incinerate metal and have flesh left over?
Yeah, that's another huge question mark, because I've heard whether it's been disputed a lot, even amongst 9/11 truth activists. But there, supposedly were dogs there that couldn't find any remains of bodies. Now, I know the bodies were found and there's DNA evidence, but you know what? I don't know what even to respond to about that. I just know that something happened that we don't know at the Pentagon.
So that was your first take when you got this link.
Yeah.
All right, good friends, we're speaking with Betsy Metz, organizer of the Treason in America conference that was held last weekend in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. We'll be back with Betsy on INN World Report Radio just after this.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Crowley, INN World Report Radio, and I'm just having a great time today because I'm always happy to meet people that get involved, roll up their sleeves, and go above and beyond the call of duty. We're speaking today with Betsy Metz, who, through an interesting chain of events, a friend of hers, the daughter of a friend of hers, gave her mom a video link about the Pentagon and on 9/11. It got to Betsy. Betsy took a look at it and further woke her up, it sounds like, from already being kind of suspicious about the way things were going with Iraq and so forth. And to make a longer story a bit shorter, as a result, she put together this conference, Treason in America. Where did you get the idea for that conference at that time in Pennsylvania there?
Well, for the last 2 years, I've been showing movies in Wayne. I run a theater, the Anthony Wayne Movie Theater in Wayne, PA, and I show movies at 5 and 7 o'clock on the third Thursday of every month. When I started it in January 2008, they were weekly, but it got too expensive for me to do that, and it was just too much. It was too time-consuming. I have four children, and so I decided to do it monthly. And I'm always, you know, I'm always trying to come up with new ideas, and I knew at some point I wanted to do some kind of conference, and this really just initially started as a one-day conference, and then I had so many speakers wanting to come and speak, and with John Gold's connections, we ended up making it a two-day, actually went to a one-and-a-half-day conference, then it went to a full two-day conference.
So Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, I guess that's near Wayne, where you're talking about?
Yeah, it's about 10 minutes from Wayne.
Okay.
And both Wayne and Valley Forge is about, 10 to 15 miles west of Philadelphia. And I was going to have it at a place called Radnor Hotel, but they could only have 300 people max, and there were issues if a lot of people came as far as eating in restaurants. So I looked into Valley Forge Convention Center. I thought it would be, way out of my price range. But they worked with me, and we put something together, and the facilities there, the room that I rented could have held 600 people, and they had six rooms that could hold 600 people each. So if it was a huge, success, I could have expanded to 1,000. But, we were just right in the room that we were in.
Now, I've heard, and I want to get, by the way, to the Nightline interview, but before we do that, now I heard as part of the folklore that's going around about this, that you dug into your bank account and came up with about $20,000 to lay down to put down for, I guess, for the deposits and the publicity and everything. Is that true?
Yeah. It might even be a little bit more at this point. I got to sit down and go over all the numbers. I started with a $10,000 target, knowing that I might go over, and that was able to go towards deposits towards the convention center. And then just little things came along that had to be done, and I didn't want to be where I wanted to do it right. Even, having flowers there was important to me.
Sure.
And the little things that were add-ons at the convention center, all these new terms I've learned, like pipes and drapes and getting tables. Do you want skirts? What color skirts do you want? And the different prices. And
sort of like a wedding, but for a spiritual wedding.
Exactly. So I just wanted to do it right. I wanted to keep it very streamlined, very, very, everything very tight, but I wanted to do certain things just right. And even the carpeting. I didn't need a whole carpeted place, but I wanted carpeting down the middle and in the front of the podium, and the chairs were arranged in like a chevron style.
So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Were you able to recoup your outlay from the event itself?
But that's okay because
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Yes or no? Was it?
No. No, I think. I don't know. I got to sit down, but I may have spent maybe as much as 25, maybe 23. I'm not sure. And we had maybe 5,000 in ticket sales.
Uh-huh.
So maybe I'm out 15, maybe a little bit more, but that's okay. And as someone wrote on a blog that I read today, you have to look at this as an advertising fee in a way, which I already have. If this is creating buzz in the mainstream media and in mainstream American people, and it's energizing the base, again, to get out and do their own thing. I mean, it's well worth it. I mean, what would an advertisement during...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a big nut. Are you affiliated with any organization that you could run this as legitimately? It's an educational event, right?
I have deliberately stayed independent. I consider myself, the title I use is an independent 9/11 truth activist.
Right.
I support a lot of groups. I help a lot of groups whenever I can. But I kind of just want to do my own thing and not have any constraints. And I just want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and however I can do it. So I've just tried to, retain my independency through this. So.
Well, God bless you if that's something that you can do, because that's unfortunately it does take money. There's a lot of people who have a lot of dedication and they work really hard,
exactly,
and they're volunteers, but you still can't get around it. You know, the the mainstream media. There's a hidden tax, Betty, that comes out of your pocket and mine every time we buy a tank of gas or an airline ticket or something. They get some of that money to go ahead and put up Bill O'Reilly with it. Whether we believe in Bill O'Reilly or not, we're forced to pay for it.
Exactly.
And there's precious little of it that goes the other side.
Right, right. So, you know, I do it because I can. So that's all.
Good. Well, that's a great thing. Let's talk a little bit now about the mainstream media. There was a mainstream media presence there. ABC's Nightline came. Now, the first question I have is, I'm told that they basically videotaped the entire conference, meaning all the speakers. Is that true? Do you know?
You know, I don't know that. I don't know that. They were not there Sunday. They were only there Saturday. I don't know that happened. I know they taped some of them, but I don't know that they taped all of them.
Okay. And then, you know, there was some background B-roll, especially flashing some of the signs and posters and tables and bumper stickers and stuff. And then the rest of it was interviews, it looked like. I noticed Sander Hicks. I saw that you had been interviewed. Sanders, I put the Nightline piece on our Facebook page, INM World Report Radio, and then I also put links to the raw footage of the entire interview of Sander Hicks so that people could see for themselves how much is discussed versus how much finally makes it in there. And the real meat and potatoes of what Sander was talking about never made it onto the Nightline piece. For instance, they challenged him, you know, as they often do. They try to put you on the spot and throw you a curveball. And say, well, you don't believe the government's story about 9/11. And Sander says, well, the FBI doesn't believe it. You know, they don't have Osama bin Laden on their list. Well, they don't put that on there, you know.
Exactly.
So what was your experience like with being interviewed by Nightline?
Well, they pretty much asked me the same questions that they asked Dylan and Corey and Sander. And I think I had something going for me that day because I'd only had 2 hours of sleep the night before. So I was so brain dead. I was first nervous that I would say the wrong thing, but I think it helped me because I was so relaxed. I just sat down and nothing. They couldn't say anything to me that would have gotten me upset. So, you know, it was just, I don't know, it just, the questions are so ludicrous that they ask. You know, they don't try and really find out, you know.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. And
do you think they really believe that this is all wrong and so they're just got an attitude? Or do you think they know it's true but they're not allowed to say, or are they just afraid?
I think it's somewhere in between. I think whenever if they're either starting to question, even if they're beginning to question it, and they start to look at the evidence, they always come back, and people, regular people do too, to the question, oh, our government would never do this. But then you have to say, it's not our government, it's people within the government, just like with JFK. And because they think that just, you know, it's almost like a straw man argument that our government would never do this, so end of story, we don't need to look into it anymore.
Well, ironically too, that is the emotional position.
Yeah.
You know, who did it? The government did it. You know. The logical position is we just got to find out with an investigation. But anyway, let's talk a little bit more about that. We're speaking friends with one of my new heroes here, Betsy Metz, who funded and got together the Treason in America conference last weekend. We'll be right back. America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio, news talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Oh,
Why do we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door? With a thousand million questions about hate and death and war. Because when we stop and look around us, there is nothing that we need in a world of persecution that is burning in.
All right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INM War Report Radio. And that's just a great old song from 1970, the Moody Blues. I remember, I think it was the summer of 1970 that record came out. A question of balance. You know, why do we never get an answer when we're knocking on the door with a thousand million questions about hate and death and war? That was 1970, friends. Seems like not very much has changed. In fact, maybe it's even gotten a lot worse since then. But thanks to people like our guest, Betsy Metz, a modern-day Betsy Ross in some ways, if you ask me. Heroin on my list now. I'm always happy to meet people who roll their sleeves up and get involved and make a big difference. In any case, Betsy conceived of and put together and executed the Treason in America conference that was held in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania last weekend. A couple of questions, Betsy. First of all, are there a lot of YouTube videos yet? Where can people go who didn't get to see the event itself to find out more about how it went?
Yeah, a lot of YouTube videos are being put up. I know the interview with me that ABC did was 20 minutes long, and they showed about maybe 1 minute, which was fine. But it's too bad that they didn't show more of everybody speaking their full interviews. That's on Vimeo, but somebody split that up. It's on YouTube. And Cronus, C-H-R-O-N-U-S, Paul Payne did all the filming for me there, and he's putting some up via John Gold, or maybe directly, but John Gold is posting it. If anyone's friends on Facebook with John Gold, you can go there, because John's getting the videos up as quickly as he can as soon as Paul gets them up. And I had an idea 2 days ago to take all the raw footage. This is just still spinning in my head. I don't know if it's really going to work. So there's probably like 25 hours worth, and see if I can get somebody to edit it and put it into something that can be sold on Amazon, where just the cost of it would be taken out and giving all any profits to possibly the 9/11 first responders. I'm thinking of maybe starting something called Adopt a First Responder, and the first one would be Charlie Giles. So that's just something that is, and I probably shouldn't even be speaking about it yet because I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's just maybe my next project.
Well, you know, you speak about it, and you're going to get the hopes and prayers of a lot of people listening behind it, and that'll probably help it come true. I wanted to ask you about that. I know that Bob McElvain and Manny Badillo were there. How were the first responders and family members represented at your conference?
You know, some of them came. Ironically, two of the three first responders couldn't come because they were too sick. So there's a little irony in there. Charlie Giles was there, and he hasn't been doing so well, but he made it, and he's got a lot of energy and a lot of heart. And it was great, and he gave a wonderful presentation. But Mike McCormack was going to come, and he couldn't, and Michael Barrett was going to come, and he couldn't because they were too sick. At the last minute, Craig Bartmer was going to try and come out from California, but we couldn't make it happen. So,
well, I think it's a great idea if you can get some DVDs of the entire event, but do me a favor, don't forget to put a little piece of that to go back toward covering your costs so you can live to fight another day and do another one of these too.
Yeah, well, no, I'll just, you know, if I can pay someone to edit it, and then whatever, I got to talk to people who know how to do these things to get it on DVD with the jewel cases, and I'm sure I can get artwork, and just you know, start some kind of foundation or something. I don't know.
I tell you what, I was a photographer and a photo lab technician in the Army, and at the time, on September the 11th, 2001, I was working in a financial software company only six blocks south on Broadway. And we had clients all throughout the financial district in general, and particularly in the World Trade Center district. In fact, Cantor Fitzgerald was one of my clients.
Wow.
And I was updating one of our systems that they had for about a year before September 11th. We finished the upgrade in August of 2001. and I was going up there at least once a week or so, and I checked my billing records. The last time I was up there on the top with those guys from Cantor was on September the 5th.
Wow.
And I was in my office downtown. I heard this noise, and you know, it was the second plane hitting, and then a friend of ours came in. Somebody said, oh, a plane hit the World Trade Center. And then one of our associates came in, like white as a ghost, said, oh, we heard a plane hit. He said, no, a second plane is hit. We're under attack. So right away, I sprung into action. I went to Duane Reade, and I bought four disposable cameras, and I started going around taking pictures.
Wow, that's great.
Well, I got some never-released pictures. Finally, one of them, somebody, a friend of mine asked me for an article she wrote about 9/11 for a Brazilian newspaper that just came out about a month ago. And I was going to walk up right underneath the towers at Cedar and Church. And for some crazy reason, I stopped about 2.5 blocks south of there at Rector Street to read some of the singed papers that were floating down out of the sky.
Yes.
And that probably saved my life because by the time before I had a chance to finish reading those papers, I heard what I thought was another plane coming in. I could not see the towers from there. I was behind Trinity Church in that trench there.
And that's when the first tower fell, the South Tower.
That was when it was a clear, bright day. Wow. It was as a matter of fact, the very fortunate plotters of 9/11 had a lot of things going on their side, including the weatherman that day, which of course they needed to have everything videotaped so perfectly, right?
That stuck in my head. It was, you don't see blue skies like that anymore.
That was
an
crystal clear
week and of blue skies.
It was a crystal clear day, and I heard this, what I thought was another plane coming in. And so I'm looking, you know, where's this going to hit? What building do I got to lean up against?
Right.
And then there's a big boom. And I said, oh, that's pretty good. It hit and I'm not knocked over by the concussion. And then I see Mount St. Helens coming right at me down the street.
Oh my God.
So I snapped off, two pictures of it.
Wow.
I knew I had enough time to run back to the corner and get into the building on the corner. And when I got back to the corner, then I saw this stuff coming from the other side street direction. So I took another picture of that, and I said, all right, that's it. I got no more time. Let me get inside before this stuff hits. And that's when I realized that there was a revolving door to get in the building. There was about 10 people waiting in front of me to get in. And there was just no way I was going to be able to make it inside in time. And sure enough, I got stuck in all that stuff, almost choked to death.
Oh, my God.
But fortunately, you know, nobody panicked. Nobody tried to jump the line. Men, women, everybody took their turn, one each. That's the fastest way we're going to get inside.
And it is amazing how people in those times of panic just in many times just remain calm, unlike what you see in the movies.
Unlike what you see. And you know what? New Yorkers are a special breed anyway,
yes,
I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Know? And I'm telling you, I mean.
Just another day.
To the credit of the human race, you know, you're thinking, I might not make it in there alive, you know, and yet. I'm thinking, if anybody tries to jump the line, they could get the door jammed and we could all get killed. You know, so I'm choking. I'm going, everybody, one each. And we got in. And, you know, it's just even if you wanted to give your spot to somebody behind you, it would have screwed things up.
It would have been pointless. Yeah, you're right. That might not have happened in any other city.
Well, I'm not saying it wouldn't have happened in any other city, but I'm just saying
I don't know.
New Yorkers are a tough crew. But you know what? The reason I went through that whole story is if you go ahead and you do this, I will let you use any one of my pictures or any bunch of them that you'd like to for your covers on that for absolutely free, okay?
Oh, that would be great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, never published before, but I'm going to start putting some up on the YouTube site maybe or something. But Facebook.
Ideally, why I really want to do this is because the speakers gave such incredible presentations. Every speaker we had was so credible and so so professional, and they were all very just fascinating to listen to, and I would love for this to get into universities and colleges.
Well, Betsy, you're going to be back on with us on the evening program on the Rule of Law Radio Network on INN War Report, so we'll be back in touch with you in about an hour and a half or so.
Okay, sounds great.
But also, listen, let's make a point. I'd love to meet on the air your friend's daughter, and let's extend her a spot to come on the show, maybe with you, so she won't feel so self-conscious, and we'll talk with her.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you, Tom.
Very good. Friends, Betsy, where should people go to find out more about you and the conference?
The conference website is still up. It's www.treasoninamericaconference.com. And I don't have any website, but I am on Facebook, and it's Betsy ORRR, and my last name is Metz, M-E-T-Z, and that's just where I try and post what I can about 9/11.